Packers select Aaron Rodgers, quarterback, California.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
Brett had a great career. Aaron had a great career here. And Aaron will be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He'll be in our Hall of Fame. And we'll bring him back. He'll retire his number.
Big ball downfield. And it is intercepted by Kirby Joseph. And the Packers are in major trouble.
I don't think anybody expected this, but it's here.
That was a team of destiny, and it just fell apart.
Boy, I hope Aaron comes out and says, I'm coming back. I'm really excited about this.
We invest a lot in these guys, and we would certainly like that investment back from all of our guys.
That never even crossed his mind.
No, it did not.
That's a little bit depressing.
Since 2009, you know, we had a chance to win it all. Fortunately and unfortunately, only won it one of those times.
And now the Packers are hoping it happens again.
If he requests a trade, will you honor it?
Yeah, oh yeah, we would, yeah.
If you're Brian, you have to say to yourself, I really made this decision 3 years ago.
We're going to do what's best for the Green Bay Packers and what gives us the best chance to win moving forward.
If I was Goody, I would say, are you effing kidding me, man?
I think we wanted to help Aaron achieve what he wanted as well as the Packers and hopefully, you know, create a situation where it's kind of a win for both sides.
I'm going to be a realist here and understand that there's a lot of different parts to this.
Jordan's done a great job, worked really hard.
If I'm them, I'm thinking over the next 3 to 5 years, can Jordan Love be better than Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff?
The left throw is caught by Watson. He's got great speed, and he will score.
Whoa.
He needs to play. That's the next step in his progression.
If you think it's worth giving up on a Hall of Fame talent and having him go somewhere and do what Favre did, you better be damn sure that you know that Jordan Love will do what Aaron Rodgers did.
This is the reality we're in. It doesn't always end with rainbows for the moon.
My intention was to play, and my intention was to play for the New York Jets.
The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch via Johnny Montage begins now. Now, I want to get to all these calls, but I do think, and this may affect how some of these calls go, so I do want to get to this because we've pushed it off for a while. So, there were four different NFL executives that I reached out to yesterday. In Tausch's brain, he's trying to name them right now, trying to figure out who they were.
No, I know who they are.
One of them,
whoever listens to the show pretty regularly, I think has a pretty good hunch who these people may be.
Well, at least some of them. One of them, who has been a GM in multiple locations, I asked them all the same question. What is it realistic for Goody to ask for Rodgers at this point, given everything that's happened? And he said that if the Packers are willing to swallow some of Rodgers' contract, a second-round pick. If they're unwilling to swallow some of Rodgers' contract, a third-round pick, which would be the same as the compensation for Brett Favre, by the way. Now, you could make those have conditions on them if you want. You can't do it if you're going to make it for a 2023 pick, though. So it'll be interesting to see if this deal gets done before the draft. And it'll be interesting to see if Joe Douglas is like, look, yeah, we're not giving you the 13th overall pick. Go take a long walk off
deadline.
A short pier into Lake Michigan.
That's the first real deadline that is going to come up. And we all know deadlines spur action. And right now there's no, you know, timing-wise, the Packers do hold the cards because the Jets would like for him to at least have the option to show up for OTAs and minicamp,
right,
even though I didn't sense that that's something at the top of old boys' list.
Can you believe that? I can't. Very disappointed.
No, I can. Well, we'll see if that's how it plays out. But from the Jets' standpoint, would they like to have this all wrapped up? Yes. But you know what? The Packers would, too. Let's not kid ourselves. Yeah, oh, they can wait until the first week of the season. No question. Smartly done by Russ Ball to have that length of time. And because they could, Aaron and his team could have really kind of squeezed the Packers if it was, you have to have this done by the 25th of March. Well, then you're going to risk not trading him and not being able to dump this salary and all the other things. So this idea that the Packers hold all the cards, it's just not true. What they do hold is a valuable commodity that one team, an asset, not a commodity, a valuable human that the Jets really want. Nobody else is banging on the door to get him.
No.
And the Jets still, there are other options, whether it's, again, I'm not trying to put Ryan Tannehill or Mariota.
My God.
Or, you know, you do have Lamar Jackson available to make an offer sheet to. There are other choices that the New York Jets could go down, but they want Aaron. And I think from a reasonable standpoint, they are willing to give. Giving multiple firsts or that 13th pick this year, I'm guessing Aaron Rodgers is like, don't do it. We're not going to do it. We have a plan too.
Right.
And that our plan, I've seen this live out. I've seen fans booing me as a quarterback in 08 at training camp. I've seen a stadium filled with Packer fans booing. I don't think Rodgers is going to get that same treat. I think Rodgers gets booed if he comes to family night and tries because the yes. Packers have won this part of the PR battle. They've won this. Sentiment is against Aaron. That is the one other thing that you could say if you're a Packers fan. All right, here's the juice. I'm telling you right now, if the Packers get a first-round pick, Goody's grade goes to a C.
Yeah.
Because
that's a win.
It
no
would
doubt.
Be a monster win if mm-hmm. he was able to pull that off this year.
844-770-3776. Let's go to Greg in Manitowoc. Greg, good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch from north of you on I-43. How are you doing today?
I'm good. All right, couple things. As far as Rodgers yesterday in his talk, in conversations with people, it's not what you tell them, it's what they hear. And I think that's kind of going on with some of the other callers, what they're saying. What I heard is an arrogant guy who said who was lying about saying he wanted direct conversation, and who was lying that he said up until he went into his dark room, he was 90% sure that he was not going to come back. No, he's very bitter. Earlier, you guys were talking about who do you have the most confidence in? Rodgers with the Jets playing quarterback, Love playing quarterback for the Packers. I think the Packer organization, what they're betting on is they have confidence that the offense that LaFleur wants to run, the way he wants to run it, that's what they have to have the most confidence in right now. That he's going to run the offense. He's not going to wait for that perfect play like Rodgers always did and see if they can win. They were 8-9 last year. Again, Rodgers without the thumb injury, they would probably be better. But I think they're really banking on LaFleur's coaching ability and that offense to make all of this worthwhile. And then last thing, you're right. With this contract and who's got the leverage, if we can get a second-round pick out of the Jets and maybe a player, I think that's a win.
Yeah, again, you're not wrong about anything you said there. Now, I would hasten to add, and again, I want to go back to the leverage aspect of this, because all the other stuff really doesn't matter that much. Like, a lot of this is window dressing for now until they figure out a way to make the trade, right? Like, we're spending a lot of time on it, and it's really interesting. It's interesting, the Rorschach test of how you heard what Rodgers said. And I think Greg made some good points there. Again, it goes back to what I've argued all along, though. I'm guessing that Greg, not a huge fan of him to begin with. I mean, he used the word lie and stuff like that, and that's fine. But the bottom line is, who's got the leverage and how is this going to be resolved? Because for as much time as we're spending, 5 hours yesterday, 4 hours today, it's still not resolved. We know the Packers don't want him. We know the Jets do. We know Aaron Rodgers wants to be a Jet. That's it. That's the list. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know what it's going to cost. We don't know how they're going to work out the contract aspect. That's all still up in the air. So we have a better idea of where it's headed, but we still don't know how we're going to get to that point.
Hey, Jason, do you think the Packers end up eating any of this contract? I don't.
Look, I don't know what dug their heels in means. That's the phrase Rodgers used. But if Goody is standing there saying, I want a first-round pick, and I'm not paying any of this stupid contract that I didn't want to pay him before, And I want David Putney. Yeah.
Bisaccia wants Putney. We're getting Putney.
I don't know. Unless Woody Johnson caves, and I don't know enough about Woody Johnson to know, is he impulsive like other owners? Is he desperate for the back page of the newspapers in New York? If he is,
maybe Goody
then
knows
Goody
that.
Might win. If I'm Joe Douglas, though, and if I'm Aaron Rodgers, both of them together as a team, something that Goody and Rodgers have never been, except for on that one time on that trade for Randall Cobb, that Goody then came out and publicly said he didn't want to do after he did it. There's direct communication for you. If I'm Rodgers and if I'm Joe Douglas, I am not literally but figuratively tying my owner to a chair. And I am not letting him dial a 920 area code and saying, I don't care what Joe and Aaron say. We'll give you that first round pick. Just give me my quarterback. Don't let him do it.
Pick swap. I'm telling you, pick swap is the way to do this.
You have a lot of great ideas. The idea of a pick swap of two spots I don't see as sufficient.
No. And a second. A pick swap and a second. That's what I want. Green Bay wins that. If that's what Green Bay gets, that's a big win.
Right, but Goody doesn't see that as a win at all. Goody thinks that's not nearly
right
enough.
Not right now he doesn't. You know what he will? When Rodgers is sitting down at the cafeteria, just hanging out.
God,
hey,
I can't believe I missed OTAs last year. It's great to be here.
Boy, these are fun. These smoothies are fantastic. Why didn't you guys tell me you had a smoothie bar? I'd have been here a lot sooner if you'd have told me that.
Let's keep going with the calls. 844-770-3776. Let's go to John in Menominee Falls. John, good morning. Welcome to Will DeTouch. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I think the two of you throughout this whole thing have been right on the money. You can't be more accurate than your takes, and I love the interaction between Tausch and Greg Scalzo yesterday because Tausch, again, 100% correct. The clear communications thing is where I threw it out of, okay, you're going to go for the whole sympathy of I'm not the victim, but look what they've done to me and
exactly.
Over all these years.
Yeah.
And Tausch's comment of 160 million reasons why they like you was perfect. And at this point, I don't care if we get any picks, and we don't want the third pick like the other caller pointed out, because they'll just use it poorly anyways. So how about we don't pay any of your salary? See you later. I'm a Rodgers fan. I think we're better with Rodgers as a quarterback. But over this course, I'm done. I'd like to move on. And I think the best way, and even maybe to stick it back to him to go, you know what, we're just not going to pay your contract. We don't even need a compensatory pick because it's not worth it. Goodbye, we're done. Hello, Jordan Love. Let's move on and let's find a backup quarterback to help that kid out and move forward.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
What a great call!
Well, he did tell us how great we were. I mean,
no, that's true. But in fairness, there's a lot of truth in what he was saying. The Rodgers component to this, and where he lost me yesterday was that direct communication conversation, because. And the fact that he felt like they didn't want me and all this other stuff. And I am not arguing on, you know, Homer called him a liar and everything else. I'm not arguing that you can feel that way. And he has the right, that gut instinct of his, it's pretty accurate. I think we've come to grips with the Goody-Rodgers relationship was doomed from the moment Goody decided to, A, look at drafting Drew Lock, and then B, pulling the trigger on getting Jordan Love.
Mm-hmm.
That was it for Aaron. Never again was he going to trust him. It was just that was how it was. But to say that you never felt it, you won. I said that when he signed that contract. Hey, now you can take your victory lap. It's important to him. He's an overly competitive cat. It's sometimes unhealthy. That's how you become great. So you won that battle. You got that cash. Don't be trying to play any type of victim in that regard. And that was the part that bothered me yesterday, because, you know, Scales was kind of on the, well, the organization. All of that other stuff, throwing flowers at him, all that other stuff, that's all great. Players, the money is the respect. The money is the validator. Every player will tell you that. And Aaron needed more. The money was your validator. The fact that you could bring your buddy back is an over-validator. And that's the part that I just have a really hard time with, saying they didn't listen, they didn't do this. Yeah, they drafted a guy, and that pissed you off. We're all well aware of that. You still won because you played great, and you acknowledge that's why you won. And that wins, the Packers win by having that happen. And it still wasn't enough. And that part does go back to Aaron Rodgers. It just does.
We'll get to more of your calls after Tausch tells you about LabCorp. LabCorp. And the BMI right now, challenges.
Everybody is looking for a little bit more money, right? Whether you're looking for a vacation, or if you're going to look at renovating your home and getting some windows, or you're going to go buy eggs at the grocery store. And LabCorp is exactly what you need. They have a variety of open trials that will fit your schedule. And right now, those studies are for healthy adults ages 18 to 60 with a BMI of 18 to 32. That's pretty lean. Study involves one stay of 8 nights plus 7 follow-up visits, and you can be compensated. Who doesn't want to grab a quick $10,328? Like most of us do. Go to LabCorpClinicalTrials.com. Sign it up. You get $300 per qualified participant. And if you're a little more heavy set, they have a trial for you. Healthy, overweight males and females, ages 18 to 55. Females must be of non-childbearing potential with a BMI between 30 and 39.9. That study involves one stay of 6 nights and 2 follow-ups, and you can be compensated up to $3,700. Again, go to LabCorpClinicalTrials.com. That's LabCorpClinicalTrials.com.
More of your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I'm running circles trying to find another finish line. Plug in that power system, light up that optimism. Even on my darkest days, I get knocked down, but I just keep my
844-770-3776. Let's keep going with the calls. I appreciate everyone's patience today. 844-770-3776. Let's go out to Raleigh, North Carolina, and talk to Andy. Andy, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How are you doing, Jason?
Good. Thanks for waiting. What do you got for us?
So I just, you and I both love stories. I sometimes wanted to be a journalist, and maybe stuff like this is why. But I was a huge Brett Favre fan, met him in 1992 when I was a little kid. I didn't have a card because I just had a piece of paper, and so he signed that, and I still have that. I don't know how much it's worth. Maybe somebody can tell me. And then, big fan of Rodgers, just with everything that he's done. And the likability of both of those players, for me personally, has just gone down completely. And to witness, I was born in 85, to witness both of my two favorite players just become completely unlikable is really something that it happened once with Favre, but I'm still wrapping my head around it happening again with Rodgers. I don't know. So I guess that's something that I don't think is talked about. And I know there's a million things to talk about, but they're both getting trades to the Jets. So it's just, I cannot believe this is like reality.
Yeah, and look, and I totally get that, and I think part of the challenge, and I'll admit, and Andy, thanks for the call, and thanks, you know, I don't want to say thanks for not becoming a journalist, but like this is part of the challenge, is separating the art from the artist, and both of those guys have generated incredible art as quarterbacks, but there's also aspects to them that make it hard to like the artist, and so. When you look at the big picture, yeah, they both gave you great memories. But to Andy's point, Tausch, yeah, there's been some unlikability turns of events that have occurred with both of them. And, again, you can appreciate what they did, but it's not that easy when you're a fan. You want to love your heroes. Unlike you and Ron the Key don't meet your heroes, you want to love your heroes, and sometimes they make it hard to do that.
Yeah, and again, I think it's always, this is kind of the rock bottom point, I think, from Packer fans with Rodgers. It's only going to, I mean, at least we hope, for those of us that really like Aaron, we hope it climbs back up. If he goes, wins a championship with the Jets and focuses and has a great MVP year, it will sour a lot of us. So it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Or against the people that decided they didn't want him anymore.
Be both. It would be both, because there'd be a lot of Packer fans that would say, well, if you put that same energy and time and into it, you would have won here. And there, but no, it would swing the pendulum. Winner, we all love winners. We all love winners.
I want winners.
If that happens, obviously Goot would be, they'd be in a world of hurt.
He wouldn't be the winner.
Flips that way.
Let's get to another call. Let's talk to Mark in Milwaukee. Mark, thanks for waiting so long. Welcome to Wildin' Tausch. How are you, buddy?
How do you do? I have a comment, and then I have to leave you with a question. The first comment is, sure, I hated all the drama with Favre. I hated all that crap. And I don't like all the drama with Rodgers. But I'm a fan, and I never said I hate either of them or would like either of them to go. Yeah. I would still even hope that Rodgers would still stay and go out on a positive season. But anyway, the second thing is, I have a question now. If we would have had a winning season this year, this last year, let's say we would have finished 12-5 or something. Would we be having this conversation right now, or don't you think it would not have made a difference? Because I don't think we'd have this conversation if we had a winning season. That's my question.
Mark, I'm on your team. Now, what would be interesting about this, and thanks for that question, because we should have probably talked about this sooner, so thank you for bringing it up, is that, Tausch, if Rodgers still has these reservations about this organization, which he clearly does, right? And he says it's all about winning a championship, and the Packers want to try and convince themselves that Jordan is ready to be a really good NFL starter, what if they do go 12-5? Because, again, some of those losses, they weren't that far off. I would, again, argue that if Aaron Rodgers is a little bit different in his approach, or if he never breaks his thumb, we're not where we are. You do not have 8-9 and no playoff berth. Hell, what if they beat the Lions and get in the playoffs, and then somehow Aaron Rodgers has that quintessential Aaron Rodgers game finally against the San Francisco 49ers in the playoff game, and they somehow win a playoff game? What exactly was the line of demarcation to give Goody the window, or Murphy, or whoever it is, to say, all right, we're done with this guy? I don't know. I'd like to know that.
No, it's the losing season, obviously, like I said yesterday, it's really easy to kind of let things slide when you're 13-4 and you're winning. And when you lose like that, you have to evaluate the entire process. And when your expenditure with Aaron Rodgers is what it is, and the fact Jordan got better, it's a combination of things. I think had they won the division again and Rodgers played at a good clip, I don't know how you move forward. I don't know how you as an organization do it. Then Rodgers has to do the direct communication, say, no, I want out. Would he have still done that? The vibe I got and what I took from yesterday is yes, but would he have actually done it? We've been saying for years that he is sitting there and he wanted to, but as you on that promo that keeps playing on our stations, the Packers know he's going to cave. And you know what? They've been right. Now, is it going to be the Packers think that Rodgers and the Jets are going to cave? Because that's what it feels like.
Oh, that's what they'll it feels give, like they're oh, hoping us, for.
They'll give us that first-round pick, but they have to understand Aaron Rodgers, too. And spite is a hell of a drug.
Never heard that
I could see Rodgers. I could see Rodgers saying, no, 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 because it directly affects him.
Would Woody Johnson listen to him? Would Woody Johnson listen to him?
Yes.
To me, that's the question. If he,
I don't know,
no,
Woody,
I'm coming.
If you're,
if you're going
to do everything that he's done, you're going to trust that Aaron will be able to figure a way to get to New York, and the compensation isn't going to be as much as what Brian Gutekunst wants.
$60 million backup. $60 million backup. Let's get one more call before the break, then we'll keep going with calls after that. Let's go to Eric in Green Bay. Eric, good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch. How are you, buddy? Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, good. How you guys doing?
We're outstanding.
So I think the last caller kind of got into my question a little bit. I'll try to make it a little less long-winded than I need to, but I was watching actually the Badger game in the NIT the other day, and they were talking over the entire season, the thousands of possessions, how, you know, two baskets would have made a difference.
Yeah.
You could look at Wall's ankle injury, the miracle shot against Kansas, the blown lead against Nebraska.
Yeah.
And with the Packers season, you know, just kind of crazy when you think about whether it's Tua getting concussed and the Packers keeping the streak alive, obviously the thumb injury to Rodgers, the comeback against Chicago, just all the little things that kind of could have, you know, shifted the narrative. So I guess to kind of rephrase my question here, what do you guys think, say they're going to break up regardless at this time of year, what makes this cleaner?
Honest to God, you know, it's such a great question.
It is.
I actually sent out, and we're going to probably hit on this tomorrow because we're just going to take calls the rest of the show. But I sent out a text to six of my former teammates, and I said, how was your breakup with the Green Bay Packers? Is there a better way to handle it? How can you, when someone is coming to tell you you're washed, it's time,
we don't need you anymore,
how can you do that in the nicest way? It is not an easy answer. And in this case, it's not that they think Rodgers is washed. They think he's a pain in the butt and we're done with you and we want to get our young player in there, which there's different ways of doing things. But I don't know, and that's why I asked, I don't remember what the caller's name was, that was the, he runs a business and he's an executive. What is the right solution to that? Because it's not like typical business where you can transition someone out gently. You fall off a cliff here. You are shoved out the league. And then to say, well, hey, will you come and help us with our, you know, this young intern? Can you train him up? We're not going to pay you any extra or do anything else. We're just going to, by the way, we're going to take away your high-paying job, but we would appreciate you doing this for us.
Yeah.
That doesn't fly well in the business world, and it doesn't fly well in this world. So there is the answer to your question. There is no easy answer. It's really difficult to do it.
By the way, that was, I believe, John McGuanago, who had the presidential experience running a company. All right, we've got a ton of calls still to get to. We're just going to keep doing them, including, after a long wake, the villainous John Wesley is up next in the rotation. We'll talk to him and more of you next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Rodgers' intention is to play for the Jets. I think words are important with Aaron Rodgers, as we've learned the hard way. I wonder why he chose My intention is to play for the Jets.
Well, as always is the case with you, when something piques your interest, you have an opinion on it. Why do you think he used the word intention?
I think we're going to get to more calls because I'm not really sure and I need to think about it some more. 844-770-3776.
Well, I didn't know you were going to ask. Is my camera lens better? I've been seeing people saying, do I live in a fog house or something? And
yeah, it looks less smudgy.
Yeah, you look a lot clearer now when you're not like shoving that donut into the camera lens. I don't know what you... like, you're like...
You know what? We've kind of been tough on the video component. I wish when I blew that squeeze ball up and it went all over my computer, my face, and my clothes, I wish we had been on video that day. There's a good chance for everybody that's not watching on the stream. I have those little Eleanor gives me a lot of these little squish balls. She gave me a squish donut. And there's a really good chance this will blow up at some point and blow up all over the screen. And that might be a good way for you to
Is it jelly-filled custard?
I don't know. We'll find out. Probably. Maybe today. Today might be the day.
Well.
All right, Jason, let's go. Get to some calls. What are we doing?
John Wesley waited all through that time and now waited through your description of your squeezy donut. Let's talk to the villain himself. Causing trouble for the Double Deuce and one of my good friends. It is John Wesley. I assume in a car. I assume he's driving to like the Carbone Cancer Center or something, doing all his great fundraising at UW Carbone. And he's been waiting on hold a long time. John, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, Jace. How you doing, man?
Better after yesterday because we at least have some clarity of how we're moving forward, even though we're not there yet.
Thank God. I obviously did not watch, but, you know, you can't avoid reading about it and seeing about it. There's so much you can say about Aaron Rodgers. Let me just say that I know you guys were talking about compensation for the Packers. I will be disappointed if they don't get at least a first-round pick for Rodgers. And follow me on this, because, first of all, we're talking about the great Aaron Rodgers, correct? Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the guy that...
39-year-old Aaron Rodgers.
Right, but the guy that got really mad that they drafted his replacement and so went out there and won an MVP, right? The guy that even told us last year that players come to Green Bay not for the weather, but they come to play with me. The guy that just yesterday said that he's the greatest Packer of all time.
And then added and arguably after the fact, yes.
Right. And now a guy that the Super Bowl odds, what is it? I think they just went up for the Jets, that if he goes on to the Jets, that their Super Bowl odds have raised. And if he were to have stayed on the Packers, I'm pretty sure that the narrative would be the Packers will always be a Super Bowl favorite because Aaron Rodgers is on the team. So with all that being said, is that not worth a first-round pick?
So now on the flip side of this, you and I have been friends a long time. You're a smart guy. I'm not saying that to butter you up so I can knock you down here. But I do want to ask you this.
Yeah.
Everyone and their brother knows that they have one suitor. And look, you're not the only one who has said this, right? I think Albert Breer at the MMQB is arguing that the Packers have a ton of leverage and they can wait. They have a ticking time bomb in the form of his contract. So, in my opinion, the only thing that the Packers have leverage-wise is the hope that Woody Johnson will be impulsive and say, we got to get him. We got to get him. I want him so bad. We got to get him. Pay whatever they want. Because if I'm Joe Douglas and Aaron Rodgers, I'm saying, forget these guys. Yes, it would be ideal for me to be able to take part. It would be ideal for me to take part in the offseason program, even though I don't really want to. But if we wait them out, they can't have me there as a $60 million backup. They don't want me. They've made that very clear publicly. And if I am still on their roster right before the start of the season, they have to pay the option bonus. And if they cut me then or trade me then, they're on the hook for $75 million of cap room on their 2023 cap being eaten up by... They would have to start cutting players the week of the opener.
The Jets have all the leverage, guy, or the Packers have all the leverage.
No, they don't.
That's why just don't listen to that foolishness. Both parties need to get this done.
But I think we're missing out on the fact that when's the last time the Jets made the playoffs?
2010, when the Packers won the Super Bowl.
12 years ago. Yeah, 12 years.
Okay. So I think that when you're dealing with a team that, you know, in the negotiation aspect that, I mean, we're dealing with the market in New York, like, I haven't been able to listen to, you know, the talk radio shows and whatnot in New York, but do you not think that they are clamoring, saying, do whatever you can to get this guy in here? We need to make the playoffs. It's been 13, almost 14 years since we did it. And don't you think that, I know that there's been a lot of naysayers and a lot of negative talk about the Packers front office, but everything that you just went over, Jason, do you not think that the Packers have even thought about that right even before they started coordinating this contract with Aaron Rodgers last year?
Yeah, I understand.
Look, Wes, I know what you're saying.
I agree with you. I agree with everything you said there. But I do think this, and I argued this about the Packers a couple of weeks ago. Thanks for the call, about the idea of them hoping that Rodgers would want to play somewhere else at the combine. Remember that? That was what Rich Eisen came back and talked about. And I said, they're hoping, and hope is not a strategy. Well, they lucked out on that one because Aaron Rodgers wants to play somewhere else. So he's helping that. Now, them not wanting him factored in some way. But now they're hoping, again, they're hoping that the desperation of the Jets and Woody Johnson and not going to the playoffs since 2010 will make them be willing to pay more than I think we all agree they have to, given the circumstances. If the Jets are patient, they don't have to give up a first-round pick. Again, NFL two-time GM in the league. Second-round pick if the Packers eat some of his contract. Third-round pick if they don't. And Goody wants a first and then more?
Yeah, good luck.
But again, he might get it.
Pick swap.
He might get it.
Pick swap. Yeah, he might.
He might and get he it should, if Woody listen, Johnson caves.
He should completely push for that. And you know what? When you get to draft night, then you have to make that determination. Because after the draft, the Packers' leverage is only going to go down.
Let's get to another call.
So, yep, let's do one more.
Let's talk to Alan. Well, one more for this hour, and then two, four, six more at least in the next hour.
Yeah, we'll keep plugging away.
Let's go to Alan in Milwaukee. Alan, good morning. Thanks for holding on so long. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch.
Hey, how's it going, y'all?
We're good. How are you, buddy?
Doing pretty good. I hope I made a short list here just real quick. I hope people start listening to you guys and start listening like with their heads and not with their hearts, because you guys are exactly right as far as the Packers having zero leverage. And I'm just going to make a short list here of why they don't. First, they don't ever have leverage in their own building with Aaron. Because, again, like you guys are saying, he could come back and be a $60 million food critic sitting in the basement eating smoothies and stuff all day long.
Yeah.
The second reason, it's not the moves you make, it's sometimes moves you don't make that sink your team. And now Goody's wearing this monkey on his back of basically the Denver flop of last year, of not making the move last year when he should have. So now he's got that weighing on him. So now he's trying to overcompensate this year on compensation. But the Jets, like you're saying, if they're patient, if they go out and get a Tannehill or a Jameis Winston or something like that to get them through, because they still need a backup. It's not
they
just
do.
About Aaron. They still need a backup. They don't want Wilson on the field. So if they go out and get Tannehill or Winston to back up Rodgers, they can put them on the field, because they were 7-2 last year without Rodgers and with trash at quarterback.
Yeah.
It was just until the league caught up with the Jets that caught up with Wilson that they went off the table. But the last thing I was going to say is that the other thing that could really throw a monkey wrench into this is, you know, as it gets closer to the draft, teams do all kinds of funny things, and they could put it out there that, hey, the Jets are trying to trade their number 13 pick to Houston or Arizona to move up and get a quarterback. What will that do to Goody? You know, how big will he, like, how big will the knot in his stomach get if he heard that the Jets are trying to get a quarterback in the draft?
Yeah.
It might not be Young. It might not be Stroud. But it could be Levis. somebody always drops in the draft. And so maybe they don't have to get up to two. Maybe they have to get up to six or five. So Packers are, they just need to get what they can get and get out.
Alan, you made great points. I'm glad we left you on hold long enough to put together your list.
It's almost like Alan had a wish list. He had a wish list of things. The reason
he came to the meeting with a wish list? What?
In celebratory regalia.
So Alan brought up a lot of good points. The Packers do have some leverage. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to act as if they have leverage because the Jets really want Aaron. And a second round pick is pretty doggone good. Especially, you know, it's a middle round pick. But the idea that what, you know, he is saying about Aaron not coming, he could come in, he can cause all these problems. And there are other options still. The Packers see that Aaron Rodgers, with this contract, if Aaron Rodgers was an unrestricted free agent and go sign with everyone, there would be more interest in the New York Jets. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you have to give up a second or potentially a first and pay him an obscene amount of money for what you don't know how long he's going to play, this isn't the most desirable cat right now. There's a lot of things working against you, too. And don't just sit here and just drink the Kool-Aid and say, yep, all this stuff. There is more to it than just saying Aaron's a really good quarterback. We all agree. Open market, yep, people would love him. At $60 million, that's not as sexy of a pick.
I thought the good point that Alan made was that the Jets could do something else at quarterback as a security blanket, and they could play the game of, well, then we'll just trade up from 13 and go get a young guy, and we'll give up on Wilson. Because that ship appears to have sailed. Now, you could argue that if Rodgers comes back, you could potentially, he sits there for a couple years, and then Rodgers retires, and then maybe he's ready to play again. But the bottom line is, the Jets are in a good spot if their owner doesn't freak out.
Mm-hmm.
And might, but again, hope, not strategy. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. We'll get to more of your calls next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
We'll get some more of your calls. Johnny Donut over there needs to tell us a little bit about Coors. But I love all the calls, and I know there's a bunch of you that are still waiting on hold. I am trying to get to them all. It is important that after you call and you give your thoughts, that we discuss those, because there's been a lot of things that have been brought up on calls that I had not thought about. And that's one of the great things about doing this job. See? Is then you're like, hey, oh, I didn't think of it that way.
You know, Jason, ticket calls in the end of the way. It's not a bad thing. I've been trying to tell you that for 6.5 years. I'm also telling you, let's sit back and chill. This Rodgers stuff. You know, did you guys know that the NCAA tournament started? Did you even know that? Maryland.
Yes. Tony
Maryland.
Bennett. Tony Bennett and Virginia taking on the Furman Paladins.
Ooh, I got Virginia going a ways, I think, in a bracket that I may have ran out of filled out. And over the weekend, it's going to be fun. We're going to get back into March Madness, and it's great to sit down with your buddies and have a Coors Light brewed to the three-step cold process. Cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it is made to chill. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978, Coors Light is refreshing. It is crisp. And the beautiful part, you have like 15 Coors Lights. It's only 102 calories per. That's why it is always Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The 12 o'clock hour, which I didn't really get to say yesterday because I left to go hear Aaron Rodgers talk on the Pat McAfee show. Then I returned for the 1 o'clock hour. But the 12 o'clock hour.
fun hour.
Is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free, full-show podcasts.